Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Testing. It's that time of the week, it's that time of the day for us to get together and have a bit of a debrief to see how your week in testing has been and have some good discussions. So we got about an hour to have a good old chat. I'll spend the first 10 or 15 minutes just describing a few things that we've been observing here at Ministry of Testing, give you some updates on what's been happening in the community. And then I'll invite you, the audience, to come up on stage, share some things that you've been up to. Perhaps you have a question that you'd like to ask the audience that you need some help with, or just share some celebrations. Maybe there's someone in the community that has been doing great stuff and you want to pop up on stage and celebrate those individuals. Good stuff. So thank you for joining us. This is episode number 47, getting ever closer to that number 50. So this is great. And I'm super grateful for those folks that I can see in the audience who are listening, who keep coming back to This Week in Testing. Very grateful for that. And welcome to any new listeners today. Try and keep things straightforward and light. It's hopefully a simple way for people just to tune in, treat it like a radio show. And if you're up for it and you're feeling a bit brave, you're more than welcome to come up on stage. Just put your hand up a little bit later on and I can invite you up on stage and we'll go from there. Excellent. If you do join the stage, please be mindful that this is a Ministry of Testing event. So we have a code of conduct, which you can access on our website, ministryoftesting.com. Just look for the code of conduct link in the footer. Well, I'm very pleased to say that we are now recording This Week in Testing and we've now put live a couple of episodes. So 24th of May is now live. The 31st of May is now live. So if there's anything that you hear today that you don't quite get or capture, come back to the recording. We're aiming to get on top of getting the recordings edited and published the following week after it happens. So yeah, if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/podcasts, then you'll be able to get access to This Week in Testing. And it's a great way to celebrate the community. We do list all the folks that join us on stage. There's lots of notes and there's a transcript, so you can search through that as well if there's a particular thing that you want to look for. Do a good old keyword search. And for those that follow Ministry of Testing on our YouTube channel, we also publish the podcast there as well. So if you're not following the Ministry of Testing YouTube, which includes all sorts of videos, do go check that out. Just search for Ministry of Testing on YouTube.com. Wow. So there has been a lot of meetups happening of late, which is just incredible. So Ministry of Testing Athens, it was great to see that they put out a promo video just promoting what they're up to over in Athens. Again, congrats to those folks for running a wonderful summer event very recently. So yeah, if you look for Ministry of Testing Athens on LinkedIn, there's some good photos as well as this promo video that's gone out. So that's very cool. And we have more meetups happening. We're getting loads on the go. So what do we have here? So on the 19th of June, it's a meetup in Gothenburg, or I think is it pronounced Göteborg? I probably absolutely butchered the Swedish pronunciation of that. So apologies to all Swedish speakers. But yeah, Gothenburg. So 19th of June, we've also got Bengaluru on the 20th of June. Ministry of Testing Leuven happening on the 26th of September. Okay, so jumping ahead. And we've got another Brighton meetup. So Kim Knupp, who's a wonderful community person, she has set up another Ministry of Testing Brighton meetup. That's happening on the 17th of July. So folks, lots of local meetups happening. And again, if you are interested in setting up your own local meetup, then do get in touch with us. We would love to support you and help you gather your local community of people that are interested in testing, quality assurance and quality engineering. It'd be wonderful if you're up for setting that up, but we can support you along the way. It was very nice to hear from Parveen Khan. So Parveen was involved in a recent episode of The Testing Planet, sharing some thoughts. And yeah, it's just Parveen was very grateful for, we essentially, for anyone who contributes on A Testing Planet, we offer access to our professional membership. We give 4 months to that person to say thank you for their time and efforts. And just really lovely to see Parveen sharing that publicly. So thanks, Parveen. We love, our Ministry of Testing love collaborating with you. You've got so much to share. And yeah, it's a pleasure that we get to collaborate. So yeah, there's many, many opportunities to contribute to the community. So if you head over to ministryoftesting.com/contribute, you can get involved. You could write for Ministry of Testing. You could record a short talk. You could get connected to a meetup and speak at a meetup. Plus many, many other ways. So do go check it out. I appreciate, you know, that takes time and effort, but you will be rewarded for that effort, whether it's through a monetary value of some sort, or you can donate your fees to a scholarship fund that we have running, which helps people who aren't in a position to pay for things. And the good feelings that you will get from sharing your knowledge and experience and kind of leveling up your own skills through that process of sharing. So yeah, do consider contributing. So go to ministryoftesting.com/contribute. Wonderful. Earlier this week, Callum Akehurst-Ryan shared a wonderful talk that we've put live on our site earlier this week. It is to celebrate LGBTQIA plus Pride Month. The talk is called Visibility Matters, You Are Not Alone. Callum shares so much wonderful information about many topics, focusing mainly on visibility and his life as a queer person in tech. So definitely do go check that out. It's very much worth watching and listening to. So thank you, Callum, for co-creating that with us. It's wonderful. So I had a good chat with AJ Wilson and Christine Pinto earlier this week. And what do we talk about? Well, we were recording an episode, or at least one part of the episode. It was a news section for the Testing Planet that goes live in a couple of weeks. So our next, the Testing Planet, is episode number 4. It's called The Practitioner, and it goes live, available for anyone in the community to join in real time on Thursday, the 27th of June. And AJ, Christine, and myself, we looked at a number of polls that we put out to the community about the topic of communities of practice, asking questions around if you have a community of practice at your workplace, how does it work? How often do you meet? How often do you get together? What sort of things do you do? What things are stopping you from getting involved? It was a really good chat. AJ and Christine had so much insight to share. So yeah, do sign up for the next Testing Planet. So that's Thursday, the 27th of June. All of our events are available on our events page. So ministryoftesting.com/events. And yeah, there's a lot going on. We've got office hours. So this is every Wednesday at 2 p.m. British Summer Time. We open up the office to our professional members and our unlimited members. So if you have any questions for the Ministry of Testing team, or you have any ideas or feedback, and you just want a good old chit chat, we're there. So also for our professional and unlimited members who we're super grateful for, please do check out office hours and get involved with that. Someone who did that was Mahati Dandimhotla. Mahati was great. She just had so much feedback, so many ideas, and it was lovely to connect with Mahati. So thank you. Thank you for joining that, Mahati. It was great to hear from you and take on board all your feedback and ideas. Very, very helpful. Okay, so a couple of things related to career growth. I see there's a couple of companies hiring right now. I saw a company called Bango hiring a QA engineer. So I'd recommend finding them on LinkedIn to see where you can apply. Also, Scopic and MetaLab are hiring. They have job ads available on the Ministry of Testing jobs page. So if you go to ministryoftesting.com/jobs, you should be able to see those jobs available there and you can apply. The number of folks that are looking for work right now, so Adam McInerney, so Adam's been amazing. Adam's been doing loads of stuff on the club, being super, super helpful, particularly for those that are going through the test automation certificate. Adam is answering lots and lots of questions that people have as they take the certification. And Adam is open to work. So if you want to connect with Adam McInerney, learn more about what skills and experience they have to offer, please do go find that person on LinkedIn. But yeah, kudos to Adam. It's been super helpful on the club. The club is Ministry of Testing's forum, so club.ministryoftesting.com. Congrats to Alison Edwards for starting a new role at Meta. Very, very cool. And I also saw AJ Wilson sharing a virtual career fair aimed at women. So that is chicktech.org/careerfair. Very cool. That's happening soon. And for those that want to deep dive a bit more into their career and they want to connect with other professionals, perhaps offer some of their skills or get some help with, shifting their career into a different direction, we've recently put live the next Test Exchange. So this is an event that Ministry of Testing hosts. It's open to everyone. It's on the 25th of July. We gather as a small group of folks on a video call. We run some interactive polls. We share information about ourselves, what we're looking for help with and what help we can offer. We jump into some breakout rooms and connect, share. It's short and sharp. It's about an hour's session, but we are hopeful that it sparks some good connections. So we have one recently and it was lovely to see folks learn from each other in that type of environment. So the next one is available. It's the 25th of July. It's open to everyone and you can find that on our events page. Okie dokes. Well, let us jump into taking questions from the audience or some ideas, some thoughts, reflections. So yeah, thank you for listening so far. If there is something that you want to bring to the table, you have something to share, perhaps it's an idea, perhaps it's something you've been working on this week with your team and you want to share some reflections, or maybe you have a question for the audience and we can get some other folks up on stage to try and help you. Now is the time to put your hand up. So I'm going to go on mute. I'm going to quickly pour myself a cup of tea to get my voice back and we go from there. So yeah, have a think about bringing yourself up on stage. You're most welcome. Okay, no takers right now. So let's continue. Piotr, let's bring you up on stage. Welcome, Peter. How are you doing? How's your week in testing been? Now, it might be my side, and apologies if I'm interrupting there, Peter, but I'm unable to hear you. And I think when you spoke, I couldn't see the captions appear. So I'm assuming it might not be my audio output. But yeah, if you could try again. Oh, okay. Let's see if we can get Piotr back up on stage again. They have disappeared, but that's okay. Hopefully they make their way back. In the meantime, we have Ben Doan. Lovely to hear from Ben. And for those that don't know, Ben is a regular at This Week in Testing. Indeed, we have co-hosted before, Ben, and we should do that again sometime soon if you're up for it.
Good afternoon, Simon. Yes, that would be great. We should do that.
Maybe we can find a particular topic that we could focus on, or maybe have a set of questions that we could have ready to go with. But yeah, how's your week in testing been?
My week in testing has been pretty good. We're getting to a part in the project that I'm working on at the moment where a lot of things are becoming testable. So things are starting to get to a state now where it's getting quite exciting. APIs are getting live and front ends are getting connected up. And so I've actually managed to do a good bunch of testing and testing with other people, which I always enjoy doing. So that's always exciting to see how other people do testing and bask in the glory of other people finding things so that I don't have to. And I love that a lot.
Love it. Yeah, likewise. It's cool, isn't it? I guess perhaps the one analogous thing that I could share there is maybe when some of us at Team Ministry of Testing are writing things and we ask for feedback about what we've written from our team, and they spot things that we didn't spot. It's like, oh yeah, maybe you should do that. And I'm like, oh yeah, hadn't even thought of that. Or yeah, that's a good point. That doesn't make sense. So yeah, it is lovely when we can kind of get the benefit of working collaboratively to improve things. But that's, Ben, you got me thinking, actually. You say lots of things are testable. So I wonder if there's, I don't know, is there a definition of testable? I mean, I guess it's situational, of course, of when things can be ready for testing. But I wonder if we explore that word testable. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. I also have one other topic I could throw out there.
Go for it.
I'd really enjoy some feedback. So I've got a thing that I'm doing in about a month's time where I'm intending to do some live testing on stage at Automation Advocates meetup. And if anyone has any ideas, I'd really like to know things that I could do that would bring people value while I'm doing that, right? So I it's very much an indulgent thing for me. There's going to be some challenges. There's going to be some practice app. And I'm going to pair up with the excellent Lissy Hock, and we're going to live do some testing, and if it all goes well, write some automation live on stage for about an hour.
That's epic. Good on you, Ben. And good on you, Lissy. That's so cool.
And while I'm really excited about it, and I really love the, for me as a challenge, I think it's going to be awesome. I'd really like to have an idea of the kind of things people would like to see so that other people get the most out of it. Like, I've got my ideas, but while we're having a chat about what makes things testable, if anyone has any ideas about what they would enjoy out of a live testing session, or if they've seen live testing sessions before, throw it at me. I can't promise to use it, but I'd really appreciate that feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's see if any folks will put their hands up to join us and share some ideas of what they would value during a live test automation session. Very cool.
So let me throw one thing out there for the things being testable. And I guess what I mean is there, in my context, there are more parts of the code that are deployable to our deployed test environment. And they were previously at least partially testable locally, but in much more isolation. So I guess what I really mean in my context of where I say lots of things are becoming testable, I mean integration tests where I can test more than one layer at a time are starting to open up. That's like the greater opportunity. Whereas previously things were testable, but with more kind of glue, like technical glue, not sociable glue work, but technical glue work to do things like provide things in API calls rather than allowing the front end to do stuff or feed things from one place to another. So things are becoming easier and more accessible for testing, more visible.
Yeah. And do you feel is there a correlation with testability? I'm just thinking about Ash Winter's words on that topic. I guess that's an interesting one, just reflecting on that. What is testable and its relation with testability? And I know that's lots of T words. But just reflecting on that.
Absolutely. So I think in any case, the lower the barrier to being able to start your testing and observe what's going on, the more testable it is and the higher the testability. So I think it's using very similar but not quite the same words for the wider topic. I guess some one individual story being testable versus a product or service having good testability is one is an attribute or a state of your system, and one is a particular finite piece of work.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. I like that reflection. Very cool. Ben, we have Pieter has arrived back with their hand up. So let's see if we can get him up on stage.
One, two, three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. We can hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, great.
We're awesome. Back. We're back.
Hey, Simon. Hey, Ben. Sorry for that. Managing.
No worries.
In the browser is... I would love if LinkedIn would have like option to choose which microphone to use in the website, not in the browser settings. Sorry for the previous one. Ben, question, because I wasn't here for your full discussion. What do you mean exactly by the automation testing session, like a hackathon or something more casual?
Okay, so let me set the scene for you slightly. There's an online meetup webinar kind of session that's called Automation Advocates, and they meet regularly about once a month. And there are other great people who speak there, and I've spoken there once before. So this is like a live event where people are watching, and in about a month's time in July, and I'll advertise dates, times and details when things are live, but around the 11th of July, if things work out, myself and Lissy Hock are intending to run a session where we're going to do some live test automation based testing of a practice app, not a live website. And what we're basically going to have is a number of tasks or challenges that we could complete. And then we're going to see which ones of them we can get done in the time box, if any. So we're really giving ourselves the challenge of doing some work, adding test cases to this practice app while we have an audience, and we haven't figured out how much audience participation there might be or not during the live session. But definitely afterwards, there'll be time for commentary and Q&A. And then if all things go well, we'll commit the branch that we did work on so that people can look afterwards what we did. I have no doubt in only an hour and under pressure, it will be imperfect, but I'm hoping it gives people an insight into the way that we're thinking and the kind of things you can do when you're automating. And it won't be a tutorial like here's how to do things or a best practice, but it'll be a more genuinely live, we're trying to actually do the thing session. I think generally speaking, I'm working on trying to make the act of testing and the act of completing tasks and challenges and things that you might get asked to do as exercises and interviews, or you might get asked to do as a task within your team, to be more visible to people so that people, especially if they're a bit newer and they don't know what it really looks like to do the thing, to give them a chance to have a look. And I personally love watching other people test because it gives me so many ideas. Ooh, they thought about that thing that's different. And I do that as well. So I enjoy watching such sessions.
Right. So it will be like an hour or less, right?
So if things go well, we'll probably have about 5 or 10 minutes of preamble where we set things up and kind of discuss what we're doing. We'll hopefully have about an hour of live coding together as a pair, where we will support each other to do the task. And then I'm hoping we have a bit of time at the end to do a bit of a reflection on the session where we can add some commentary to how far we got, what we would have liked to have maybe learned and done differently in the future, and then open up for questions if people want to kind of comment on what we did or ask what we've done.
Mm. You will start with some kind of boilerplate template or anything, or just from the scratch?
I'm going to have to say, you're going to have to join in. And if you want to know the details, it's not all planned yet. You're going to have to join in. But I absolutely will not be starting from a completely blank page. There'll be a practice app, probably with some tests or some kind of framework already set up. And I believe the tasks will be mostly to add things or fix things. I'm not intending to take the audience through setup. Why? Because I think that the exciting bit will be probably from adding tests or fixing things. Also, it's a very, very realistic scenario that when you join a team or you're given a piece of work, you're in the middle of a project. It's like very rare that you actually get the pleasure of setting things up all the way from scratch. So I think as a challenge, it's not unrealistic.
Yeah. Why I ask this question is that if you would share your setup before, I don't know how much time before, but if you would allow attendees to do the same thing as you guys will do at the same time, it might be quite engaging. You know?
Oh, interesting. I see what you mean. We will be working on some kind of GitHub project that will be open and open source so that people could follow along if they really want to. What I don't want to do is spend time within the time we're doing the challenge showing in great detail the setup or the like give it supporting people to set things up. So if anyone wants to join along live with the challenge, like if you want to come along yourself and give it a go, you are absolutely welcome. But I don't know how much support we could give while we're also doing the challenge itself, if that makes sense. Like if I was doing this in a workshop format, I'd do it the other way around where everyone else would be doing the challenge and I'd just be helping them. And I'd expect to be spending most of the hour debugging people not being able to install from NPM or something.
Yeah. I was mostly thinking about the situation where attendees, or how should I call those that will attend this event, will chat with each other, for example, you know, open chat, no support, just looking at what your guy is doing, but maybe having an idea, inspiration of doing something while they will watch you. I don't know.
That's a good point. Like we do with more like the live book hunting or live exploratory sessions. I will suggest that to Lissy where we do the planning, because I am looking for ways we could do interactivity. So that's a good point. I'll see how that might work. Because also anyway, the session would hopefully be recorded. So if people wanted to follow along after, they could do it at their own pace watching the recording. So that could be interesting. Cool. Yeah, thanks for that. I'll consider that one.
Great ideas. I also wonder, Ben, if you could put a question out on the club, kind of asking for like typical issues that you have to fix when it comes to, and I mean, it's so generic, isn't it? So I guess you'd have to give some, you'd have to set the scene, perhaps talk about your framework and tooling that you're using and language, etc. But maybe there are some common issues that people have to fix when it comes to automation. And maybe if you solicit them beforehand, that might spark some ideas of like, okay, we're going to demonstrate, like this is in this state, we clearly need to fix this up. And it's something that's common or typical enough for a good enough amount of people that it will resonate with them and they'll be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I've heard that that's an issue. I'm glad you've given me some ideas about what your approach was to fix up that test. I wonder if that would help.
Yeah, I like that, Simon. I think I will do that because even if it doesn't end up going to this session, I'm hoping this is the first of many in a similar format that I do with the people as well at a later date. So that's a good point, actually. I will get that done and I'll let you know and feel free to push that thread once it exists.
Absolutely. And maybe it could eventually expand to like common problems with test automation, like not like, and maybe it can go at the nitty gritty level and it becomes like an oracle in of itself. that people can refer to. Not like a test automation strategy level where like, oh, here are a set of principles that you could follow that ensures, you know, good approaches, but more like here's some nitty gritty stuff. I think there was like, I remember a while back, I think someone published like a bug taxonomy, and it would talk about typical bugs that you would encounter. And so it kind of becomes a bit like an Oracle or a heuristics cheat sheet, yet something for the world of automation. Maybe there's something in that.
I remember there's been a few sessions. I think Louise Gibbs has done a couple of great things around two different angles on that. One of them, I think, was maybe about fixing flaky tests. And I think the other one was maybe about mutation testing, like manually mutating testing, making sure your test can fail, making sure they pick up the right failures. So I think that's one thing that's out there I could look at again to see what I could build on. But yeah, I like your idea as part of a wider thing. For our very first event, doing this the first time, I don't think we're quite there yet to do this as more of a fix-up workshop. It's interesting. I'm actually wearing a properly old-school software testing clinic t-shirt as we chat. It feels like a test automation clinic might be a cool thing to run at some point in the future. I'm sure there's many other automation experts in the software testing community that could help us with that. I don't think I'd want to be the only one providing advice, because there's some great people here who would be good hosts for such a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's cool that you got that t-shirt, Ben. The software testing clinic, for those unfamiliar, were a wonderful way to get pockets of the community together, where you had mentors who had experience in the world of software testing, and people that were completely new to testing would come along. We'd run exercises every time we'd run it over like a course of a year, just introducing some essential concepts around the world of testing. So yeah, it was a cool initiative. Trying to bring that into an online space as well. That's certainly something exciting. Kind of watch this space on the world of essentials or foundational stuff or junior stuff, kind of unsure how to frame it yet, but it's more around people who are new to testing, getting up and running and learning from the community and via the community about what testing really is all about, to put people in a good position to, you know, find their first job or get a promotion, and give themselves confidence in what they do. That's really what it's about. Watch this space on that. Brilliant. So Peter, you came up on stage earlier. Was there anything in particular that you wanted to share before you had some technical difficulties?
I mostly raised my hand because no one else was. So I was just going to share a little story from last week.
Yeah, go for it. I'd love
maybe
to hear the story.
Spark some discussion. I'm working at UEFA, the European Football Association. I'm responsible for quality assurance of most mobile apps there. And today we're starting Euro. Yeah, that was hard few weeks.
Oof, I'm going to say this is crunch time today, right? And I'm so, we're privileged that you can step away from what must be a very, very busy time to join us at This Week in Testing. But hopefully it's given you some light relief.
Yeah, it does. It really does. I will have on duty today also, but starting around the match. So yeah, working with such project is quite interesting. So
yeah, I mean, what
last few weeks,
if you're okay to share, what have been sort of typical challenges from a quality perspective getting set for such a major sporting event as the Euros?
Mostly performance, because Yeah, there are still not many tools that are good in measuring performance of the mobile app itself in the response of API. You know, it's pretty easy to measure. Well, pretty easy enough if you're experienced QA to measure API performance on a scale or not. But hooking it up with mobile apps, different mobile apps, different screens, and measuring it in so many screens for tens of millions of users is, yeah, still not easy. And it's still showing that mobile QA market is growing. It still needs to grow. Web is so much more mature than mobile tools for QAs, at least.
That's really interesting. Absolutely. And I wonder, were you there 4 years ago when the last tournament was happening?
Yeah, I was.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so is there like, do you kind of these waves of 4 years, I guess the peak in demand, I mean, tens of millions of users, just utterly fascinating. That's a lot of people. So yeah, good on you and you and your colleagues for getting stuck in. And you know, we're kind of thinking of the tooling side of things. Why do you think there is lack of maturity relative to the web QA and testing market for tooling? What tend to be the blockers?
That's a good question. Maybe the engineering side. But because it's pretty hard to hook up to specific things inside, for example, iOS app on iOS device, real iOS device, because Apple is closing many internal APIs of the operating system. And you need a set of really, really good engineers to debug the whole OS. And most of the time, those companies are closed because Apple is sending cease and desist letters. So, yeah, there is even only one, as far as I know, only one company that is holding up to Apple lawsuits, which is trying to, well, they managed to do it in a really good way, to virtualize the whole iOS and iPhone experience for even penetration testing and some performance testing. But they have really, really huge problems with Apple. Many lawsuits and many angry calls from them. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm hearing you. That's fascinating. And given Apple's dominance in the market, that's a huge percentage of those tens of millions of users that you've described. God, it's fascinating, isn't it? It makes me think about Jason Huggins shared a really fascinating talk at the last Testing Planet. If for those unfamiliar, it was just, he's exploring an idea about how he could somehow build a system that people would offer up their own device as a test device when they're not using it. And it sounds far out there. It sounds like technically, wow, how the heck would you work that out and make that a reality? Yeah, I think you've been chatting with Jason already, Peter. Is that right? I know you've been commenting on some of his ideas around that.
Yeah. We know each other for quite some time.
Oh, that's cool.
Idea of James is a little more complicated than this. And I'm saying this only because the basic idea of sharing devices and even earning from it, like, I don't know, you or Ben or anyone from this call can hook up their iOS or Android device, allow other people to test on it and earn from it. There are already companies that are doing this. But James' idea is mostly about security in this field and in making it more scalable and on a blockchain, etc. But his idea is great. Yeah. And even maybe hooking up some robots to it, like his valet.
Yeah, it's fascinating space, isn't it? It feels like it's still early days, even though we could say that mobile devices have been around for a fair while now, like in commonplace. It still feels early days and many problems to be solved on how we scale our testing efforts and, you know, understand the risks of a multitude of devices and it still blows my mind thinking about strategies related to the fact that there's not just one device with one OS and that's that, or maybe it's 10, but you know, it's utterly fascinating. So during the tournament, Piotr, if you're okay to share, what sort of things will you be looking for? What kind of observability approaches have you taken to monitor your load and performance and stress and all of that stuff that will give you confidence? And, you know, how would you react to situations? And again, if you're not in a position to share this for privacy reasons, then please just say I can't answer that, but be fascinated to hear if you have some thoughts or ideas about what's going to happen over the coming weeks.
Yeah, from performance, it's not like I cannot say, but I won't be monitoring performance of the whole backend or even connection of our apps. We have dedicated team for this. We have dedicated monitoring tools, systems, and whole shtick. I'll be mostly monitoring behavior of our apps, like manually. I have my own small device lab, locally 20 devices, iOS and Androids, hooked up to a few Wi-Fis, few SIM cards, and I will be basically checking my custom checklist for a match event. What could happen? What might happen? And I'll be following it on multiple devices and checking how our app, this specific app, because we have few, how the specific app will behave.
Amazing.
So not a hard task on me this time. So
a bit of relief. It still sounds full on though. But hey, we wish you the best of luck and hope it's a good experience and there's some good learnings. Always fascinated whether is it down to the streaming itself that would cause extra demand, or just a super important match, or the lead up to the final, or perhaps is it something in the news that happens, or like, oh, did you see that? And then everyone floods to the mobile app to go and check what's been happening. Or yeah, it makes me think of all sorts of scenarios, like real life scenarios of what could happen to cause a surge in demand on your mobile apps.
Oh, we have, for example, managing the tickets on the stadium. You can open your app and use it as your wallet for holding your Euro ticket for this match, for navigation, for choosing path by walk, by food, by bus, order some custom service to drive you there, and a few other things. The whole crowd control thing is also hooked up with our app. So, you know, custom messages, alerts, directing people, and a few other things. So, we have quite a few people using the app just by, you know, convenience to not hold physical ticket in the hand, but have it in the app.
It's a really fascinating thing. I can't remember where I was watching or reading it, because it was some years ago, but football stadiums are one of the most difficult scenarios for like wireless networking and mobile networks, and it's one of the ones they use as their like test scenario. And a lot of the modern technology that goes into like the beamforming and the mesh and all the like the most heavy technology from a mobile signaling point of view for Wi-Fi and for mobile data is like a lot of it is built around exactly the big sports stadium scenario because it's such a challenge. It's really fascinating that kind of what happens when you can't get connection scenario. Because obviously if you've got 10, 20, 30 more thousand people all in a confined space, all trying to use network at once, that's a tough scenario, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I cannot go into details, but yeah, we worked with a few companies on this, and it's a lot of work and yeah, always a lot of risk, because what you can do if things go bad, you cannot just simply go in 5 minutes, hook up a few base transceiver stations.
Oh, yeah, they send you in with your engineering hat ready to set up.
Yeah, fly wow, a few yeah. drones with BTS towers.
Yeah, that's it. Brilliant. Send in the drones. Like, what are these things? Oh, the Wi-Fi's gone down. Okay, I get it. Amazing.
That's a really interesting question. Like, how would you control the drones without being able to use the wireless signal? That's the problem, right? Like, even the drones themselves are connected through wireless, like mobile data. So I guess you'd need some kind of other technology to get past the congestion.
Now that's my mind a good question, blown. Because there will be drones with cameras during the matches. It's like an official statement. It's known, but we will have drones with cameras. So I wonder how they work. I have no idea.
Huh. That's fascinating. God, I got my mind spinning with test scenarios all playing out. What if? How does that work? And what happens when? I mean, if you're up for it and if there is capacity, I think like even if like a daily diary of your experiences supporting it, I think that would be fascinating. I know that's, yeah, just an idea that comes to mind, like how you're supporting such a big sporting event and what that means for the world of mobile app testing. I think a lot of people would be interested to read that, Pieter. So yeah, I'll just put it out there. I know you're going to be busy, but if you get the chance to share like a daily reflection, you're more than welcome to do that on the club or all the many other places that I know you post on and hang out in.
Yeah, we'll see.
Awesome. And for anyone who's looking to get into mobile testing and is curious about it, I remember Daniel Knott, who talks a lot about mobile testing and many other things. So he's got his own YouTube channel. But I would also recommend there's a good article. If you search for Daniel Knott, so K-N-O-T-T, and search for mobile app testing, he created an acronym called mobile app testing. And it's a really good heuristic for sparking ideas if you are new to mobile testing and some of the things that you might want to consider. So I feel that's a good starting point for folks.
And I also want to... has a great book. He's
oh, yeah, of course.
Recently.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The book.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah, thanks for that reminder. And I'm just going to see, actually, if we have a collection. So we have a moderately new feature on ministryoftesting.com where we gather lots of brilliant talks, articles, Ask Me Anything sessions, masterclasses, and bunch them up as a collection. And we're slowly working our way through our massive back catalogue. And I'm going to see if we have a mobile testing collection. We don't.
I had a look. We don't, but we do have Test Bash Mobile 2022.
Yes. Yeah, no, thank you, Ben. I just spotted that one. So that was, yeah, God, I've completely forgot we had a whole dedicated online test bash, and that was back in 2022. So thanks for that shout out, Ben. But I'm going to make a note to create a mobile testing collection because we don't have one. And I think it's important that we do because there's a lot of good stuff in there, including all of those talks that we had at Test Bash Mobile 2022. Yeah, I'm just looking at the folks that spoke. It's a good bunch of people involved in that, that's for sure. Wonderful. Great. Well, let's do a quick time check. We've got approximately 7 minutes to go. So Ben and Pieter, you're more than welcome to stay up on stage, of course. But let's put it out to the audience. Is there another topic that you'd like to discuss? And I know we do have a short amount of time, maybe about 5 or so minutes before I wrap things up. But maybe you have a short, sharp question that you could ask the audience. So now's the moment to put your hand up and jump up on stage and ask something to the audience, and indeed us up on stage, and perhaps we might be in a position to help out. So I'm going to put myself on mute for a little bit and see if there's any more folks that want to pop up on stage to join us. Okay, looks like no more takers for now, and that's absolutely fine. We're super grateful for all of you for listening today. There's a lot going on. I'm just looking through my notes. So I'm in the process of crafting next week's newsletter, and I pull all the notes together that helped me at the start of this session to talk about some things that have been happening. But there's still many more things to go. So yeah, if those in the audience, if you're not familiar with the Ministry of Testing newsletter, I do recommend signing up for it. It's a great way to celebrate the community. We aim to send it every Monday. It appears as an email. You can also access it on ministryoftesting.com/newsletters, and that's where you can sign up. We also put it out on our Ministry of Testing LinkedIn page newsletter. So if you're not subscribed to that one, please do. And it's just a way to keep you connected with the community. So to give you an example, some of the topics we'll be covering next week. So all the stuff that I shared about what's been happening in the community, I'll reiterate that. Some career growth celebrations. There's a section for essentials. There's one on distributed teams. We've got CI/CD, accessibility, test strategy, quality culture, metrics, platform engineering, mobile testing. And I'm going to get that new collection in before I hit publish on Monday. There's a section on automation, unit testing, exploratory testing, AI and testing, test data management, and we always try our best to throw in a just for fun. So I found a fun meme earlier on today, which I'm going to include, which is actually related to load testing. So maybe there's a nice connection with what you're up to, Peter. So try and join that one up there. So look out for that. And for those who are on the Ministry of Testing Slack, which is available for all of our professional and unlimited members, plus those who attend Test Bash and those who have been a contributor to the Ministry of Testing community, you can get access to that Slack. I recently shared it in the Just for Fun section. Oh, Just for a Laugh. We've got a channel called Just for a Laugh. So I've shared that meme in there. If you do want to get early access to it, you can check it out there. Otherwise, you'll be able to see it in the newsletter on Monday. As for keeping up to date on everything else that's going on, start with ministryoftesting.com. You can get access to view all the events that are happening. We have a news section which pulls in lots of blog feeds, YouTube feeds, podcast feeds. We have a dedicated feed for business blog posts as well. That can also give you a link to the club, which is our forum. Lots of good conversations happening there. If you're stuck with anything, I recommend heading to the club. So club.ministryoftesting.com, ask a question. There will be someone who will reply. And if you don't get a reply, I'll make sure to promote that question so we can get some folks looking at it and someone will do their very best to help you. And also, if you've got some good tips and advice, just feel free to put it out there as well. People do read the posts. You know, I can see all the stats from behind the scenes, and there's a lot of activity happening right now. It's a wonderful part of the community where folks hang out and help each other out. So I do recommend the club if that one's not on your radar. Great. Well, I reckon it's a time to wrap up. I really want to thank both of you for appearing up on stage today. So thank you, Ben. Thank you, Piotr. It's been lovely chatting to both of you. Always a pleasure to learn from you both. And wow, two very, very exciting things happening soon for both of you and therefore the rest of the community. I will keep us posted, Ben. Both of you. Ben, feel free to put a note out to the Ministry of Testing community when you are running that live session. You're more than welcome to do that as wherever you feel is a good place to share that and we can get folks involved. In the meantime, please do enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for listening to all our listeners out there. And do come back to the recordings. And if you're listening to this as part of the recording, I apologize for getting a bit meta, because you're listening to it already as a recording, but this is just a reminder for those that are listening live. You should soon have access to this in the coming weeks. And we'll build up a good cadence where we'll record, edit, and go live the following week with the recording. So you can come back to this stuff and revisit it if you've missed anything, and also share it with your colleagues and your friends. Much appreciated. Okay, folks, it's Simon Tomes here signing off for today, This Week in Testing. I wish you well. Have a lovely weekend. Bye for now.